The CEO of BlackRock has issued a massive warning, and we need to listen up right now.
Trillions of dollars are about to pour into what Larry Fink calls the next generation for markets. In this episode, we're going to break it down and reveal our top projects.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto, from beginner tips to expert picks. Use this as fuel for your investing journey, because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
All views expressed by speakers on the BeanPod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the BeanPod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we're going to be revealing the exact sector that the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has called the next generation for global markets.
Are you paying attention? There are trillions of dollars on the sideline right now, getting ready to pour into this illiquid market. We have Citibank, ARK Investments, Larry Fink, you know, JP Morgan, all ready to digitize an illiquid market and bring a ton of liquidity to it.
It's a really interesting sector, this one, because it just makes so much sense. It's one of the most natural evolutions for blockchain technology to bring all of these trillions of dollars of assets in Web2, and that you said are illiquid, bring them onto the blockchain and completely revolutionize the way people own them, the way people trade them, and the way people can interact with them around the world. And the best part about this is because it's such an early stage industry, the altcoins that we will reveal at the end of this episode, they're so early stage because the infrastructure is just being built now. So we're talking about a multi-trillion dollar market, but the market cap of these crypto companies that are building the infrastructure, 20 million, 50 million, 100 million, they could easily 10x or more going forward. So this is an interesting episode you need to watch.
Yeah, so we're discussing the tokenization of real world assets. The way I see the economy right now, you know, I'm looking at China's stock market going to zero. We have our stock market at an all-time high, propped up by maybe five companies.
Yep.
I think it's time to start looking into emerging markets, and I think the writing is on the wall. The Web3 industry is here to stay. With that being said, there is still a ton of liquidity on the sideline through these asset managers, trillions of dollars. So what better way to make money than to start bringing liquidity to these illiquid assets and start having a hub for 24/7 trading on things you couldn't trade in the past?
For sure. So you've probably heard, you know, we've been talking about tokenization of RWA, real world assets, for a long time now. So a quick breakdown on the industry. What does it actually mean? It's pretty simple. People own houses. People own art. People own collectibles. People own commodities. People own even government bonds or even, you know, debt, right? People own a lot of things that are either physical properties, very hard to ship around the world, very hard to, impossible to fractionalize and trade. But with the tokenization of you're putting these assets, these illiquid physical assets, putting them on the blockchain, and you're putting a transparent, unhackable way to trade them around the world in high liquidity. So say we want to buy a house in Mexico and we want to go in with 12 people around the world. But it's very hard to do this. There's going to be all kinds of contracts and money sending and all kinds of legal. But if you do it on the blockchain, you can actually fractionalize the ownership of a house. You could fractionalize the ownership of a house to 100 people. And then if that property appreciates in value, people can sell their 1% of the house to another person in a very tracked, secure way on the blockchain, right? It's going to change the way that people trade these quote-unquote real-world assets.
especially in Mexico, because you might get gypped, like, depending on, you know, there's some shady shit that happens in some of these countries where you try to buy a property. We've heard people getting ripped off of multiples of hundreds of thousands of dollars because there's been some shady stuff. And that's the beautiful thing of these smart contracts. It eliminates the middleman, but also allows these tokens to be programmable in a certain way where you can make these adjustments in the future, but it's all binding. It's all like these smart contracts where you or I can't manipulate it.
Yep.
You know, it'd have to be like a group consensus of the tokenized, fractionalized holders to kind of change what they want done.
Yeah, for sure. And the whole thing about it is it's not dead capital that people have in all these quote unquote illiquid investments, but it's just, it's making investments and capital more liquid. It's you know, think about how fast paced the world is moving. You know, we just saw the launch of Apple Vision Pro, AI, everything's moving so quick, but everyone, people that have a high net worth, they have their net worth locked up in these old school traditional assets, which are not in the digital world. They're not keeping up with new technology, but this is why Larry Fink says this is the future. He can see this, you know, this BlackRock CEO, he knows what's the direction markets are moving. In order to unlock all of this illiquid capital around the world, trillions and trillions of dollars, the solution is now being built on the blockchain. You're going to put art, collectibles, houses, all this kind of stuff. You can even tokenize, as I said, you can do stocks, bonds, debt, all this kind of stuff. Very, you know, complicated Web 2 things can be put on the blockchain and broken down into smaller prices. You know, your average person who's, you know, say making 50K a year, they might not be able to invest in fine art because, you know, one painting costs $100,000. But what if they're so interested in fine art, they want to buy 1% of a painting? With this, they'll be able to do it. That's the use case right there.
And then there's also like the DeFi application that gets built into it and the yield generating opportunities that exist as well. Mm. So look, you're essentially just making things more accessible by having these real world assets. Instead of being locked into one market, maybe in just in North America, it's been now becoming global 24/7. It's not just trading, you know, Monday to Friday from a few hours during the day. Real-time settlements, reduced costs, programmable tokens. Like, there's so many improvements to the current system that almost seems dead.
Yeah.
You know, sure. And the transparency. It's like, you can see everything that's occurring with cash. You can't see anything.
Yeah.
Right? So that also helps to eliminate the fraud. You know, if you're buying a piece of art, if you're getting a Banksy, is it really a Banksy? Well, yeah, because it's now been verified on the blockchain and we can see, you know, who the actual owner was.
Right, yeah, that's a great point, especially for collectibles and art and stuff like that. The verification on the blockchain is going to take a lot of scammers out of it. And the best part about this whole sector and this opportunity is it's not just an idea. It's happening, right? So we have, as we said, you know, multiple times in the episode, we have companies like BlackRock, JP Morgan, ARK Investments. They're all putting full force behind the RWA narrative. And then we have these crypto projects that are actually doing it. They're actually making inroads, building this whole industry. You know, there are a lot of quote-unquote RWA tokenization coins in crypto. A lot of them, honestly, are pretty shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companies that are just like, oh, you know, we bought one house in Switzerland and we're going to launch a coin and you can own it. It's like, yeah, great.
Yeah. Is it compliant?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of money grabs out there. So you have to be careful with these RWA tokens. But the ones that we're going to talk about today, they're not just these ones buying up, oh yeah, we bought some art, we bought some houses, here's our coin. These guys are actually building the infrastructure. These are the building blocks for the entire sector. So as the entire RWA sector starts to see billions, maybe trillions of dollars flowing in, you're going to have these two or three projects we're going to talk about that are building the entire thing. So as the whole market grows, their tools and their whatever they're building, everyone's going to need to use them.
Yeah, so obviously anybody who follows us knows all well that we are big fans of Alliance Block, token is NXRA.
Yep.
The good thing about these guys is they're not necessarily competing against the banks. They're kind of building the infrastructure that allows for that portal from your traditional finance system into the DeFi aspect of things. And you have to think, a lot of these banks have been trying to fight the system, but at some point they're going to have to transition.
Yeah.
They haven't been putting the resources and the energy and time into understanding how it's all working, I don't think.
Yep.
So luckily you have something like an Alliance Block who's been building for many years now and has the infrastructure ready to start allowing for the trading of this tokenized assets, bonds, et cetera. And then we can talk about another piece of infrastructure that has they've officially used for their wallet as well. For sure.
So the three pillars of Alliance Block and how they're building the infrastructure of RWA is one, their Nextera exchange, which when it's fully live will allow people to actually trade tokenized. This is really cool. Like the ability to trade tokenized real world assets on a decentralized exchange, that is going to be massive, right? So that's the Nextera exchange. That's one. Number two, they have Nextera ID. Now, if you've been following us for a while, you may have seen our interview with the CEO and founder of Alliance Block, Rashid Ayaya, and he gave us a full walkthrough on that episode of the Nextera ID. And, you know, when it comes to tokenizing real world assets, we're talking about potentially big money things coming on the blockchain. People are going to have to be KYC'd, right? You have to know that 100% you're dealing with a real person. The real person owns the real asset that they're saying. So there's a bit of a clunkiness, a bit of a disconnect right now in this whole KYC area. And you want to keep your data private, but you want it to be seamless for the customer to be able to prove that they are who they are. That's where Nextera ID comes in. And when you see how easy it is, how seamless it is, I can see Nextera ID being the KYC portal that could onboard millions of people and billions or trillions of dollars into the RWA narrative.
Yeah, we had firsthand look at speaking to Rashid Ayaya, the founder of Alliance Block, and had a look at the products that are being built. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely game changing. And I believe Alliance Block also has a partnership with the London Stock Exchange.
Right.
So we're talking about the tokenization of stocks, bonds, and all these things. Well, look who's already there.
Yep.
You know, look who's already has the infrastructure built, and how easy, if they already have that partnership, now maybe we start to see the first ever tokenized bonds and whatnot done on Alliance Block through the London Stock Exchange.
Yeah, interesting. And they've got a couple other things in the Alliance Block ecosystem building. There's that Nuclei, which is like the data infrastructure for their tokenized ecosystem. And then also ArcFi. Mm. So ArcFi, they're actually doing it. There's a platform built on Alliance Block that is actually tokenizing real-world assets and has been facilitating sales of actual real-world assets around the world. So as I said before, this isn't just an idea that's waiting to be launched. This is actually happening, right? Yeah.
Chain agnostic and built for compliance. I think those are the things we need to look at. Mm-hmm. Like when you're talking about, you know, some of the other projects, it's like, yeah, we bought a place in Switzerland. It's like, are you guys compliant with the upcoming MiCA regulations? And I think that's going to be the overall arching crypto regulations for the globe, yep, which Rashid alluded to in the episode.
That's right.
When we interviewed him. And they are built within compliance of MiCA. And that's going to be a forward-looking... That's something I think we should probably cover in a future episode, mm-hmm, because I think it's going to hit sometime in the summer.
Yep.
And everybody who listens to our show and everybody in crypto should be aware of these regulations.
Right. Yeah, so we like Alliance Block. We've been talking about it for a while. The market cap right now sits around 90 million, most of tokens in circulation. And then it's a good segue into the next project we really like in the RWA narrative, which, you know, we mentioned the three pillars of Alliance Block, right? So they have the exchange, the KYC, and then data. But the missing piece for us, for the whole RWA narrative, was where is everyone going to store their real-world assets? They need a wallet, and that's where this next pick comes in.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Ticker's DUA. This is the only RWA wallet built in compliance, partner with Alliance Block. This is their official wallet. They already have the integration with, I think, 5,000 banks globally.
Crazy.
So think about it. You log into your app. Your banking is now in the same place as your real-world assets. And you're going to be able to trade crypto in it.
Yeah.
So when you talk about mass adoption, the ease and seamlessness of just being able to connect to your bank. And it looks like we've seen the demo. It takes like fucking 10 seconds to connect.
Yeah.
Super simple.
It looks really cool.
So now you can hold your real-world assets, tokenized real-world assets, in your portfolio, but also trade it as well.
Yeah.
One spot.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to tokenized real world assets, again, I've mentioned this is potentially big dollars, people that are holding a lot of capital on the blockchain. So you're going to need enhanced privacy and security, right? So we have the Brilliant Duo wallet, which has integrations for biometric authentication. It's beyond 2FA. You can authenticate yourself through, you know, existing social media accounts, which makes it easy to verify your identity and also log in. You know, you can't have it like something like a MetaMask where it's up. You lost your private, your key phrase. There goes your house.
Yeah.
Like you just can't have that when it comes to, you know, millions and millions of dollars of assets. So when you're talking about security, the Brilliant wallet is going to be another level above most of the crypto wallets out there, which are actually going to make people maybe to trust to put their capital into it.
Yeah. I mean, we have our seed phrases well protected. you have to think of the 95% who are not yet into this industry yet. Are they smart enough to keep their seed phrases protected?
Yeah.
Are they going to want to store hundreds of thousands of dollars in a MetaMask? But when you have something that is like a Web2 version of an app that everybody's used to and they can access their funds seamlessly and easily, that's when, you know, this beyond 2FA and the biometrics makes it like, all right, my funds are safe and I will be able to access it no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. It's going
to
be big.
They also have the global remittance payments, you know, being able to send money around the world cross-border at 1% when I think the average is 6%. Mm-hmm. This is a multi-billion dollar industry and it's going to, you're going to be able to send money instantly.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that Ripple's been trying to do for, I don't know, light years.
And they have a massively inflated market cap. We're talking about Brilliant, which has, what, like, I don't know, $20 million market cap or something like that? Yeah, tiny. I mean, yeah, the ability to send your, the integrate from your banking, you know, send your fiat into Dua, send your real-world assets into Dua, trade, send money around, trade real-world assets, trade crypto, all from one wallet. And when you look at their, this is, again, this is a very early-stage project. So when you look at their roadmap moving forward, their wallet, their iOS Android app is coming sometime early, still this year, 2024. Then we have the real world asset integration, the bank integration. They're also going to be doing a part of the wallet that's going to specifically integrate for Web3 gaming assets,
right,
which I think is another huge narrative. And then they're going to be introducing their fintech license, a Brilliant credit card, all kinds of things.
Bro.
Yeah. And then long term, I think they also want to provide access to synthetic assets like tokenized loans, tokenized bonds, all that kind of stuff. So this could become the one-stop shop wallet for, again, what Larry Fink is calling the future of global markets. Sitting at a $20 million market cap, no brainer for me to hold that.
Could be replacing MetaMask.
Yeah.
And the gasless transaction. So you'll be able to access all the Web3 dApps in the same way you're in your MetaMask. You connect Uniswap and you have to pay in Ethereum and you got to hold Ethereum and it's like $800 to make a swap.
For sure.
You'll be able to do this with Dua. And you're not going to have to pay these gas fees and all the other native tokens.
100%.
Yeah.
So those are the two main RWA tokens that we hold. If you've been following the show, you know this already. But there is a third one that started to kind of come onto our radar. It started to make waves around crypto Twitter. It's called Ondo Finance. Now, this is a bit of an interesting one. We're just going to cover it briefly here because, you know, when you go on the website, it's like, okay, they offer these three yield-generating things. They offer USD yield, US Treasuries yield, U.S. money market yield, all between like 4.5-5% yield, pretty good. But then when you go down the website, it's like they says they invest in the BlackRock ETFs, and they've got these. They're backed by Coinbase Ventures. They're backed by Peter Thiel's Founders Fund. Some really interesting connections for Ondo Finance, and I can see them starting to make big waves in the RWA industry.
Experienced leadership: Goldman Sachs, Bridgewater, Maker. So there are some big names.
Mm.
They have been featured in a ton of different places,
yep,
like Bank of America, et cetera. Morgan Stanley, Mantle.
It's like
they have the biggest names. It's like, I don't know. Have they built the perfect website? And you have to kind of read between the lines of like, what do these partnerships actually mean?
Yeah.
What are they actually doing? So we're going to do a standalone episode on this one. I think this one could be massive. Or it could be all fluff.
For sure. I mean, it's launched at a pretty large market cap. You know, it's already in the top 150. I think the market cap is like 300 million or something like that. And the fully diluted market cap's in the billions.
Looks like they have 11,000 holders already.
Yeah. So there's something going on with this Ondo Finance. We're going to do one of our truth about Ondo Finances to see if this is worthy of being in our portfolio as like the third RWA coin that we hold. So yeah, I mean, look, if you guys know anything about Ondo Finance that we haven't said yet, let us know in the comments. We're interested to know if this is going to become one of the leaders of this massive sector.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you guys tune to the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.